It's good to see everybody here this Christmas morning. Familiar faces, some faces I haven't seen in a while, some new faces. It's great to have everybody here together. Why don't we pray? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for who you are, for what you have done, that you came to us, God with us, Emmanuel, in that very first Christmas, that you came in the flesh, not because we are worthy or deserving, but because you love us so much to leave us in our sin and misery. You came in the flesh. So, Lord, we gather to celebrate. We gather to give you glory and honor because you alone are worthy. So, Lord, we ask that you would speak, that you would speak through me, that you would speak in this place. Speak into hearts that may be frazzled from all the things that have happened this year, from the busyness of the last few months, from the crazy weather of the last few days. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us and remind us of who you are and why we celebrate because of you. So Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we wait for you to speak. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't get to watch the game last week. I was fine. I'm not a soccer fan. I didn't really care. Until I heard how exciting the game actually was. Then I went and watched the last 30 minutes knowing how the game ended, and I was still like, oh. And I could only imagine how exciting it must have been for people who were watching it live, not knowing what was going to happen. Two of the greatest soccer players in the world facing off against each other. I admit it, I'm not a soccer fan. I know very little about it, but even I had heard of Messi. I didn't know who Mbappe was until about 2 weeks ago. Pastor Avery's son was telling me his favorite soccer player in the world was some guy named Mbappe, and I was like, he plays for France? The name sounds more like an African name, but he plays for France? Okay. Say what you will about Messi and Mbappe, but when you hear those names, it conjures up images of great soccer. And I think those who watched the game last week saw it, how exciting that game was. Today, as we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the most famous person, Jesus. And when we hear the name Jesus, I don't know what comes to mind for you guys. I don't know what comes to mind for people when they hear the name Jesus. But the prophet Isaiah tells us what we should think when we hear Jesus. The prophet Isaiah says in verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Those are some big titles for someone who, as Isaiah is speaking these words, hasn't even been born yet. So what does all of this mean? What does all of this mean? The baby is for all people. For to us, a child is born. To us. Not those who are without sin, not those who are perfect and have the right theology, but to us. To us, to you, to me, to all of us, a child is born, this child. Maybe you think, oh, I'm not good enough for a Savior. I don't deserve a Savior who would come and die for me. But Scripture says that's wrong. For to us, a child is born. Not to us who are perfect, not to us who are worthy or deserving, but to us. Not because we are worthy or deserving, but because God loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. So for us, a child is born. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. He's going to come and do some amazing things. And he's going to help the people out. That's what wonderful means, full of wonder, full of awe and amazement. I know the word wonderful, awe, awesome, those have all lost a lot of meaning in our time because we use it for everything. Oh, wow, Mbappe scored an amazing goal. That's so awesome. Oh, wow, look how wonderful it is outside, the snow. We don't get snow in Vancouver. Look how wonderful those people are driving in the snow, spinning their cars around and going down the hills. We've lost the sense and the meaning of the words wonderful and awe, awesome. But that's what it says, Wonderful Counselor. He's going to do wonderful things. He is full of wonder. A counselor who is wise, who helps people out. This child, this unborn baby, will be wise beyond understanding and will help out more people than we could ever imagine. And he will do amazing things as he helps these people out, as he helps us out. Standing on this side of the first Christmas, we know some of the amazing things that Jesus did. But as Isaiah is saying this, Isaiah is saying, this child who is to come will be a wonderful counselor. He's coming to help us, and he is full of wonder and will do wonderful, amazing things. Mighty God. Mighty God. Again, this side of Christmas, we know this. We know that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, God, Christ, God, come in the flesh. But Isaiah, as Isaiah is speaking this, he's telling the people, this child who is going to come is mighty God. It's not just any person. It's not just some kid. This is mighty God. It's not going to just be some baby. This baby will be God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind that God would come in the flesh. I know that for most of us, for a lot of us, we have heard this so many times that, yeah, God with us, Emmanuel. But if you actually stop and think about it, there is no other religion, there is nothing else where their God comes to be with us, comes to be with his people to save us. Sure, in Greek mythology, the gods come down and play around and do things that they probably shouldn't be doing. But in no other religion, in no other faith system, is there God with us who comes for us, who gives up of himself for us, except Jesus. I know that Argentina basically worships Messi, and now that he's won the World Cup, they probably worship him more. But he's not God. He's just a man who kicks a ball around. Sorry for you soccer fans. It's like hockey players are guys who skate around and flip a little piece of rubber at each other. People may think he's a soccer god, but he's just a man. He may be really good at soccer, but he's still a man. Nobody's going to call him mighty God. They may call him a soccer god, but he's not actually a god. Yet here's Jesus, over 800 years before he's born, and the people were calling him mighty God. Those are some high expectations. Those are some lofty expectations for this child who's yet to be born. Everlasting Father. Many kings in ancient times claimed to be fathers of their nation, but none of them could claim to be everlasting. People are born, people die. We are not everlasting. We're very temporary. I'm realizing more and more how temporary we are. My body is falling apart on me, and every day I'm waking up and I'm like, oh, that hurt, rolling over. I'm realizing more and more how temporary we are. Yet Jesus, everlasting Father, this child who is to come will love his people like a father loves his children. And he is everlasting. Like a father loves his children, God, who loves us so much, sent his only son to die for us, his own children. And as God, this child who is coming is eternal, everlasting, beyond time, meaning he will be with us forever. People come and go. Some come and do great things, but they come and they pass on and they leave. Yet not this child. This child is everlasting Father, eternal, and Prince of Peace. One who brings peace. Not just a lack of fighting and war, especially during a time right now where there's wars throughout the world, where there's so much fighting and contention between groups of people, but wholeness and restoration. One who restores our relationship with God to the way it was meant to be. See, when God created Adam and Eve in the garden to be in relationship with him, But when Adam and Eve wanted to be like God, they broke that relationship and they ruined that relationship for all of us. Yet now this baby who is to come is going to restore that relationship with God. He's not just bringing peace, no fighting into the world. He's going to restore our relationship with God to the way that it was supposed to be. He's going to restore our brokenness, our pain from suffering from the things that have happened to us in our lives. He's going to make us whole. He's going to complete us by restoring us in our relationship with the Heavenly Father. And the Prince of Peace, the one who is to come, he doesn't bring peace by swinging a sword or swinging a hammer. He doesn't bring peace through strength. He brings peace through sacrifice. His own sacrifice. His death on a cross for us. I don't know what you think, what images come to mind when you think of Jesus, when you hear the name Jesus. Maybe especially during Christmas time, you think of a baby in a manger. Maybe in Easter, you think of Jesus nailed to a cross. Maybe you think of Jesus riding on a cloud, guy standing on a cloud. I used to think like this. This guy standing on a cloud, just riding the cloud around everywhere he went. I don't know what you think of Jesus, what images come to mind when you think of Jesus. But Isaiah paints a pretty good picture for us. Not to say that the baby in the manger is wrong, but the image that Isaiah paints for us of Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, I think we need to juxtapose that with the image of Jesus in the cradle, in a manger. God, who is God, who is above all things, yet he comes and sacrifices himself to be willing to be in a manger beside animals. God, who can raise himself, resurrect himself from the dead, and come back in glory on a cloud, is the same God who is willing to die and be nailed to the cross for us. See, I think we have to juxtapose both of them. We can't just think of God in heaven just floating around on a cloud, but we also can't just think of Jesus nailed to the cross. We have to juxtapose the one who is in heaven, yet also the one who came down in the flesh, born in a manger, died, nailed to a cross for us. Because this is Emmanuel, God with us. This is the one who has come and will come again. He didn't come in power. He didn't come to overthrow the government by beating them. He came to overthrow the governments and set this world order on its head by dying on the cross for us and then being resurrected. This is not some helpless baby lying in a manger who can't do much. But this is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, who has come. Not because we are deserving, not because we deserve what God has given to us freely, but because we are helpless. We are so helpless on our own that God knew without Jesus, without Emmanuel, our relationship with him would never be restored. See, that is the good news of Christmas. That is the good news of Christmas, that it's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's not about how good we are. It's not about how right we think. It is about the one who came in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. It is about one who came, not because we deserve him, but in spite of the fact that while we were still sinners, he came for us. So on this joyous Christmas morning, hear the good news. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let us pray. Jesus, we worship you, we celebrate you, we praise you, we give you all glory and honor because you alone are worthy. Because you alone knew that we needed you so badly that you came in the flesh to die for us. So Lord, we thank you. Jesus, we praise you. We love you. And we're so filled with the joy of knowing what you have done for us, of knowing you as our Lord and Savior. So Lord, we give back to you our praises. We give back to you ourselves because you have given so much to us. We thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.